Welcome to our service for the third Sunday before Lent, or Septuagesima, as it used to be known to its friends. We begin with the great hymn of praise. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. We begin our time of penitence with some words from today's Old Testament reading. I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the collect for the third Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, who alone can bring order to the unruly wills and passions of sinful humanity, give your people grace so to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. Thus says the Lord, Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples, and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
To embrace.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As I mentioned in an email last week, as part of our response to the Year of Biblical Literacy, I hope to hold a series of studies in the Gospel of John during the weeks of Lent, perhaps over Zoom, perhaps in a fellowship group, perhaps both. In relation to the New Testament, biblical literacy begins with the fact that we have four books which are called Gospels. For the most part, the first three of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell the story of Jesus in roughly the same way, and in a completely different way from the fourth one, the Gospel of John. We call those first three Gospels the Synoptics, a word derived from Greek which means that they look at the story in the same way. There are, though, differences, of course, between them. For example, the story we looked at 2 weeks ago, the story of the presentation of the infant Christ in the temple, is only in Luke, not in Matthew and Mark. But on the whole, other differences between them are much smaller. As it happens, our Gospel reading today presents us with one of the clearest examples of those small but interesting differences. It's important at the outset to make clear that we think of the differences between the Synoptic Gospels as, in part, a good thing. There are certainly ways in which they can't be reconciled with each other at the factual level. But on the other hand, some of the differences between them may fill out things that can helpfully be more broadly expressed. It's important to recall, too, that although we have three similar accounts in Synoptics, they do not, by mere weight of numbers, prove that the Synoptics are right when they can't be factually reconciled with John. As we shall see in our Lenten studies, there are a number of places in John where the sense of an eyewitness account is stronger than in any of the other Gospels, and those moments are to be taken seriously. But today, we have a passage where there are clear differences between Matthew and Luke, and the key difference is encapsulated in the very first line of our Gospel reading. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. On that level place, Jesus begins to say some of the things that we recognize in Matthew as the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who weep, and so on. So this section of Luke tends to be called the Sermon on the Plain. At the purely literary level, this little line, "he stood on a level place," obviously suggests some editorial activity. There's really no other reason for it to be there than to say that this is not the Sermon on the Mount. For all money, as a gambler would say, it looks as though Luke is therefore secondary at this point. It looks as though the author, who of course may or may not have been called Luke, it looks as though he knew the Sermon on the Mount and knew that what he had in his source was slightly different and felt the need to make that clear. So you might think, if you were interested in such things, that this little editorial change suggests that Luke is written later than Matthew. But then you come to the form of the first beatitude. Blessed are you poor. As contrasted with Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit. And here, surely the boot is on the other foot. It's easy to work out why the words in spirit might be added by Matthew by an editor. You can't call the poor blessed, you might think. Or at least you surely have to qualify it somehow. Why? Otherwise, Jesus might be suggesting you should give away all that you have and follow him and be blessed. But we know that Jesus is recorded as telling a rich young man to do exactly that. So maybe the editor we are imagining was wrong. Or on the other hand, maybe he was right. Maybe there is some sense of spiritual blessing for the poor. In centuries to come, in the monastic movements which helped to spread the love of Christ deep into the fabric of life all across Europe, Hundreds of thousands of Christians, male and female, would take vows of poverty, believing that thereby they would be spiritually enriched and would enrich others. And in this, they were believing that they were imitating Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. So, neither of these versions is necessarily right or wrong. Both of them give us something to think about. And it's not a bad example of how the differences between the Gospels can broaden our interpretation. Naturally enough, though, our tidy, commonsensical minds want to say, hang on, I want to know what Jesus exactly said. And that's fair enough. Except we should remember that Jesus didn't really work that way when he was on this earth. It's a moot point whether Jesus thought that the poor were especially blessed, or thought that those who mourn would always be comforted. It's a moot point, too, whether he believed that the rich would endure woe hereafter, which is what he says in the second half of his teaching here. The woes are the other key difference between the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount. You can't always, perhaps you can't ever, pin down exactly what Jesus says or exactly what he thinks. But he has a way of getting to the heart of the matter and of getting to the hearts of those who hear him. Sometimes to wound, sometimes to bless, but always to challenge. He made his hearers think about things. When someone asked him a question, he didn't usually give them a straight answer. He told them a story and encouraged them to work out the answer for themselves, or ask them a question, which of these was a neighbour to the man who fell among thieves? Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Consider the lilies of the field. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. Work it out for yourself. What does it say in the law? How do you read? Jesus had a way of getting to the heart of the matter and of getting to the hearts of those who heard him. And he has it still. How do you read? He asked the teacher of the law. He was asking the question about what then was the Bible for his hearers, their Bible, their scriptures, about what we would call the Old Testament, and especially its first five books. But this year of biblical literacy invites us to ask the same question about our whole Bible, Old Testament and New. Jesus challenges us, just as he challenged them. What is written in the scripture? How do you read? Amen.
I know that one. perfect, spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood, my life is safe with Christ on high, with Christ my Saviour and my God, with Christ my Saviour and my God.
And now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad, yr hynwyton nefoedd, sancteiddi dy enw, deled y dernas gwnelo dy wychlith, megis yn yne fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn unna ein dyledwyr, ac na arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg. Canu seitho ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Let us pray. In this her platinum jubilee year, we pray for the Queen. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, grant that as we celebrate the earthly reign of your servant Elizabeth, our Queen, so through her example of faith and self-giving, your people may come to know the fullness of your power and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The following prayer was written by the Suffolk Ecumenical Group. Gracious God, we give you heartfelt thanks for our Queen as we celebrate this year of her Platinum Jubilee. We thank you for her life of faithful service to you, to the people of this nation and to the Commonwealth. Help us all to live lives of faithful service. Bless all who live and work in our beautiful country. Bless our communities, our villages and towns. Bless our land, our rivers and our coast. Bless our Queen and all who call upon your name, and help us to be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As the days grow longer and spring draws near, we ask our Creator God to forgive our moments of ingratitude, the spiritual blindness that prevents us from appreciating the wonder that is this world, the endless cycle of nature, of life and death and rebirth. Forgive us for taking without giving, reaping without sowing. Open our eyes to see, our lips to praise, and our hands to share. And may our feet tread lightly on the road we travel together. Show us, dear Lord, how to protect your creation, not just the plants and animals, but the soil, the air, and the water by which we live, so that no one may exploit or pollute them for private profit or convenience. Help us to cherish these necessities for our survival, and guide those in authority to ensure that limited resources are shared equitably between all nations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for all those who bear the responsibility for leading us in these difficult times. Assist those making decisions that affect the lives and futures of our families, our communities, our country and the wider world. Grant them wisdom and clarity of thought. May truth and compassion be their touchstones as they set policies for the future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all the members of the churches in our LMA, those who are no longer able to join us for our services. Dear Father, bless all those known to us who are suffering from sickness or infirmity. Draw close to them, we pray, Heal both mind and body with your gentle touch. May they know deep in their hearts that you are never closer than in our darkest day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, bless all those who mourn the death of a relative or friend and feel that with this loss their lives are incomplete. Heal their brokenness with the soothing balm of your gentle touch, that they might know your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, daily to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.